Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Have you ever wondered if Jesus was a victim on Good Friday? Have you ever wondered if he was at the mercy of events and interests that conspired against him? Was his death inevitable because of having so many enemies? Was he a victim? Before I became a pastor, in multiple denominations, I used to hear sermons that strongly suggested the victimization of Jesus. And the implied offenders were always us, the hearers. You put Jesus on the cross. Even if you weren't there driving the nails into his hands and feet, you might as well have been, because it's your sins that put him there. It's your fault that Jesus died. Have you ever heard a sermon like that? Yeah. And it always seemed like the homiletical move was to guilt people into feeling sorry, not so much for their sins as they were sorry for the fact that Jesus died. And you'd look around the room, you'd see all these tears in people's eyes, and it disgusted me. Because it seemed like emotional manipulation and not gospel proclamation. It's true that in many of Peter's early sermons in the book of Acts, he does blame his audience for Jesus' death, but keep in mind that some of those people were actually there. In last week's reading from Acts 3, we heard Peter say, "The God of our fathers glorified in his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, and you killed the author of life." And in today's reading from Acts 4, he directs his accusation at the Jewish high priest and the Sanhedrin, made up of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. By the way, do you know why they were called the Sadducees? Because they didn't believe in Jesus, so they were sad. You see? Yeah. I got a better one for you later on today. But Peter looked at the ruling council and he said to them, "Let it be known to all of you that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well." Now, to be fair, the Jewish priests are the ones who handed Jesus over to Pilate to demand that he be crucified. And some of the people in the temple courts were probably part of that mob that day. They demanded his death. They were there. They were guilty of it. But what about us? Are we implicated by extension? Is Jesus truly a murder victim? A martyr? Somebody just killed by a mob? Well, according to Jesus, the resounding answer is no. In our gospel, Jesus declares today that "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." Here's the operative phrase: no one takes it from me. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. Nobody takes Jesus' life from him. He lays it down of his own accord, by his own authority, by his own power. And speaking of the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus says essentially that he was in control. He's not a victim. He is the agent of his own execution. He is the orchestrator of his own death for one very important reason: because he loves us. Jesus died to rescue us from sin and death. He died to save us from sin, to give you the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And he did it lovingly and willingly. As the author of Hebrews writes, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And the joy of the cross for Jesus is our salvation. Throughout the narrative of the Passion account, Jesus asserted again and again and again that he was in control. He was the director of his destiny. Not history, not Pilate, not Caiaphas, not us. Jesus was running the show. Remember those three passion predictions. I preached about them several weeks ago, how Jesus three times before Holy Week said that he would suffer and die and rise again, suffer and die and rise again, suffer and die and rise again. He also predicted his betrayal, and he was not surprised by who it was. At the Last Supper, he actually looked straight at Judas, and he said, "Judas, get out of here, go do what you gotta do." He knew it would happen. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, they didn't have to take Jesus by force. He said, "Have you come against me with clubs and swords? You could have taken me in the temple." But they didn't, because that wasn't how he arranged it. And notice, too, that they didn't have to bind Jesus or beat him down. He went willingly with them. And in fact, when Peter tried to stop them, remember, Peter got out his sword, and it shows why fishermen shouldn't be swordsmen. Gets the guy's ear. He doesn't even get him in the gut. It was dark. We'll give him credit for that. It was dark in the garden. But Jesus told Peter to put his sword away. And he said to him, "Don't you think that if I wanted to, I could pray to my Father, he would send 12,000 angels to rescue me right here and now? But then how would the scripture be fulfilled?" And then at his trial in the high priest's house, Jesus didn't defend himself. He didn't say a word, no matter how many lies and accusations they made against him, not until they charged him and said with an oath, "Are you the Son of God?" But he didn't defend himself because he wasn't trying to get off. He wasn't trying to go free. He was marching to the cross. Something similar happened in front of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, when Jesus was before him in the Praetorium. And Pilate was astounded. Remember that Jesus wouldn't talk to him. He says, "Why don't you answer me? Don't you know that I have the authority to release you and I have the authority to crucify you?" And Jesus, with terrible tact, looked at Pilate and said, "You have no authority." "You have no authority except that which was given to you from above." Jesus wasn't trying to go free. He was marching to the cross. And even as he hanged on the cross, bleeding, dying, even as they mocked him, right, the crowds, and they said, "Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Jesus didn't come down, because what the crowd failed to realize and what we need to remind ourselves of is that it was not the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It wasn't the nails. It was love. It was Jesus' love for you and me and every lost sinner in this world that kept him up there on the cross, not the nails. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Nobody took Jesus' life from him. He gave it freely as a gift. And having accomplished what he came to do, he said, "It is finished," and died. I've often wondered what was going through the mind of Satan on Good Friday. Have you ever wondered that? You know, it seems that sometimes in the gospel, like, the devil is trying to keep Jesus from the cross, like after his first passion prediction when Peter said, "May it never happen to you, Lord," and Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." But then at other times, like when the crowd is using that same phrase from the devil's temptation in the wilderness, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the roof and let the angels catch you." and your Father rescue you. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And so it's like the devil couldn't quite make up his mind about whether he wanted Jesus to die or didn't want him to die. And so what was going on in his mind, from the devil's perspective, on Good Friday, was Jesus a victim? Or did the devil recognize his own defeat? Or did he have to wait until Easter? Was he just as surprised as everybody else that Jesus rose from the dead? Jesus was not a victim. He was the victor. He had the authority to lay down his life for the sheep. He had the authority to take it up again. And so on that third day, he rose from the grave. It was his Father's charge. It was his mission. Mission accomplished. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.